You can be turned to 2 Timothy. I'll try not to keep you too long. I'm doing something a little bit different. My grandson, he's 8 years old. He's quite the critic. We're raising him, and he told me a couple weeks ago at a meeting we were at, and he was relating these little quirks to his grandma. She said, "Well, you're going to have to excuse me, but I had to write some of them down. It was just too good." One of them was he suggested to Grammy that Grampy needs to maybe tone it down just a little bit. And she even asked him why, and he said, "Well, he's scaring those people, you know." So, you know, I can't say that he's wrong. Sometimes I scare myself. Clarence has known me for years, and I probably still scare him. But anyway, I almost felt immediately led when Brother Jim asked me to come, and I've never really attempted something like this. This is from a study that we did. It's a little bit different, or some of our studies. It's Bible, which no question about that. Some may call it preaching. I'm not sure. Everybody's debating what preaching is today. I'm not even sure about preaching where Brother Grigsby, they got me so confused about. So maybe I think it was Brother Sadler used to say, he said, you know, the difference between preaching and teaching. He said, now there is a difference. He said, let me explain it. He said, preaching is teaching. It's just a little louder. So I think that maybe it's, but I was burdened some time ago as a pastor. I seen what most pastors see, a lack of concern in the church. And see, that's more than just an indicator. That's a spiritual problem. Our church still has the old rostrum up, you know, with the attendance and all those things. And I use that thing, man. I tell them, I say, you know, see, it's not so much, you know, this is a spiritual indicator. You know, and I see people today, and they don't even recognize it. And they express such things as, well, I love the Lord, then you never see them on Sunday night or Wednesday night. You know, you hear about them at the ball games or down at the, you know, the river with their boat, or you hear about, all, you know, the same stereotypical things that, you know, we all see and we all hear. And my whole concern was this. Obviously, there's something wrong in their relationship. Whether it's a lack of understanding or a lack of appreciation, or whether they have just not grown, or in fact, maybe they have let themselves fall away in their love for God. Keep yourselves in the love of God, the Scripture says. That's your responsibility, by the way. But I began to think, well, what can I do? You know, that's the preacher. What can I do to fix this? How can I fix these people? You know, they need to be faithful. I'm a preach harder, spit more, you know, something. I got to do something to make them understand. And you know, what I found out and what I came to realize, that's just above my pay grade. You know? I can't make anybody do anything. And if I did, if they did it for me, it wouldn't be worth anything anyway. It wouldn't last. And, you know, I began to think, and really this is kind of one of these things, can I, you know, give them a fish or should I teach them how to fish? You know, give them that fish, and when the fish is gone, they're hungry again. Or if you teach them how to fish and they learn to be self-sufficient in those things, then they can take care of themselves. It's a very simple premise that the Lord brought me to. I think one that you'll readily understand and probably very readily agree if you've been saved. But the Lord, when He saved you through the work of His Son, the incarnate Word of God. And within that salvation of the Spirit of God comes a natural, and I say natural with this qualification, it's very natural, but yet it is supernatural. That when He saves you by His grace, and gives you that new nature, there is a new natural or supernatural instinct that you have within your heart that will take you simply from the love of the incarnate Word to give you a love for the written Word. Amen. Amen. Let me tell you tonight, if you're here tonight and you don't love this book, you've got a spiritual problem. And it may be more fatal because you may dismiss it. You may not think, why don't people come to church on Bible study nights. Well, they're satisfied with what they know. And I want to tell you, as the old song, you know, goes, you know, we're satisfied with our understanding. We're satisfied with our Christian life. We come to this point that we've got what we want out of our Christianity. And that's not the issue. The question is He satisfied with us?
Amen.
A lot of people today aren't in love with the Lord simply for this reason. They've never learned of the Lord. They've never learned to love the Lord because they don't have a zeal and an ultimate love for the Word of God. Folks, let me explain it like this. You are not going to be able to have a physical encounter with Jesus in this life. You can't touch Him. He's at the right hand of the Father. Now, someday we will, and we can experience Him, but it is not in the physical regards. I would tell you to seek Him physically, to come to a greater relationship with Him, if it were possible, but it's not. But that's not to say you can't have a real and fuller relationship, one that affects you, one that you know that's real, one that you can grow in. But if you're going to, it's going to come one way, not physically, but spiritually, through this Word.
Amen.
That's it. I'm glad Brother Jim's introduction, because we're going to talk about know, or knowing. I want to try to just give you some practical pointers that I think sometimes, maybe to my fault, and maybe to other preachers' faults. We always talk about teaching. We just talk about teaching young preachers. But when's the last time we taught our people to study the book? Now, I'm not going to give you the fish tonight, but I hope to give you some pointers on how to fish for yourself.
Amen.
I had a lady in our church, 83 years old, saved, grew up from a little child in that church. They used to drive mules, tie them up outside to the tree. And I got to study and got to teaching on this series of messages, and she told me one night, with tears running down her face, she goes, "I'm so glad," she said, "that you're teaching this." She says, "I've been in this church my whole life, and nobody's ever taught me how to study." Lord, help us.
Amen. Amen.
See, I can show you how to fight, or I can teach you how to fight. A lot of times we preachers, we get up and preach, and we assume in very much of what you learn, how to study, you learn from the technique. You see your pastor do a word study. So this word means over in Strong's or Bynes. And you, what do? You go by Strong's and Bynes and you learn. Or you hear how you're... But has he taken the time? Have we taken the time to show them how to study? It says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 14, "Of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of hearers." Now notice, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And both my messages, Lord willing, tonight and tomorrow, and I'm going to go as long as I got time. And we'll stop when we don't have time. By the way, I got 160 pages of notes here, and I brought the little books tonight. I think, honestly, we all know this, but this is more of a practical, and I want to tell you, encouraging doctrine when you really stop to consider these truths of the Word of God and about the study of it. What more encouraging could I do tonight to assure you of the fact that if you're here tonight as a child of God, if you're here tonight, you can know the truth.
Amen.
You don't have to worry about fake news.
Right.
You don't have to worry about fake spirituality. You can know the truth. I'm not talking about just some kind of emotional thrill where you think it's true. No, you can know the truth.
Amen.
And Scripture says in John, Gospel of John, chapter 8, verse 31, then Jesus said to those Jews which believed on Him, they're believers, if you continue in My word, then are you My disciples indeed. And what's the promise? And what's the promise based on? If you continue in My word, then you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Free from error, free from deception, free from all those things, free from self-deception, free from self.
Amen.
Greatest danger that we have today in the Lord's churches to the Lord's people is ourselves.
Right.
Lord done promised the devil can't destroy us. But He didn't say we couldn't destroy ourselves. The reality of it is, what basically here by know, what does He mean by that? That we can know. We can know the truth. I believe that's talking about what we have defined as the clarity of the Scriptures. Basically, what He is saying is that the message, the truth revealed in the Scriptures can be understood by God's people. You can know the truth. You can know it. If you abide in it, you continue in it, you can know it. Study to show thyself approved.
Amen.
So it's not a matter if, it's a matter of will.
Amen.
John 5, if you look back, John 5, it says back there in verse 39, search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of Me. So we not only can know the truth, who is the truth? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And we know that He became into this world, sanctifying through the truth, Thy Word is truth. We know that Jesus is the truth incarnate. So He says we can know the truth. And spiritually, we have been born again. He has set us free from our sins. But He can also set us free by His Word from the world and from deception and from the devil and all those things that attack the children of God.
Amen.
I think that's what He's referring to. In 2 Timothy 2:15, about in our text, this doctrine is also referred to as perspicuity. I had to look that up. I kept running across that word. It just means clarity. What it means is the Bible's a plain book.
Amen.
People talk about, well, I can't understand that old King James. I believe that they said that the King James Version is written on a sixth grade educational level. We was talking about, you know, about edumacation, you know. Now, it's not that we can't know. We don't know because we don't study.
Amen.
A lot of people, I remember, I was thinking about this. It was so convicting to me. I remember when I was a kid, I remember math class. I hated math. I always talked about math. Sorry, brother. I'm anathematized myself here. I hated math when I was in school. I don't hate it now, but I hated it when I was in school. I did terrible in it. I did good enough so I could play sports, you know? And I remember coming home. My dad was a straight-A student all the way through ninth grade, all the way through high school. Valedictorian with Connie Kittle.
Wow.
They graduated together. And he said, what's going on? I said, I just can't get it, Dad. It's just too hard. He said, don't give me that. You're a pretty smart fellow. I was just trying to make sense. I don't know. How many times you heard, bro? I just don't know, bro. Jim, I don't know what's going on. They know what's going on. You know what I ask people when they say we're having a problem? I tell them ahead of time. So don't come to me if you don't want to hear this, because I'm going to tell you and I'm going to ask you this. They come in and they say, oh, Brother Donnie, my life's a wreck. I'm talking church members. I'm not talking about general public. And I don't try to rub it in, but I don't try to babysit either. I ask these three very simple questions. And usually I already know most of it. How often do you attend church? That easy stuff, you know, first. And like I said, if they're a member, I already know that. And then I ask them, how often do you pray? And you know what I ask them thirdly? How often do you study your Bible? Well, I don't study as much as I should, and I don't pray as much. You know I'm not faithful. And you want to know why you've got problems?
Amen.
Come on, folks. This is a plain book, plain truth that God has given it. He's given it to us that we might understand. He's given it us an understanding as Christians, God's people specifically, that we can understand it. In fact, He has given His Spirit that He can assure that we can understand what He has given. It's not an intellectual exercise. It's a spiritual exercise that is initiated by the Spirit of God, and He always uses the same source. It's the Word.
Amen.
It's what God tells us preachers. You just preach the Word.
Amen.
You just preach it. See, I'm going to take care of what I want to do, what I accomplish, my Word. It's not going to return void to me. You just preach it. You just get it out there. You get it out there in the ears. You get it out there in the ears of the world. But you preach it from the pulpit to my people. Exhort and rebuke with all longsuffering and doctrine. We understand, or we should, that God has given us a book and He didn't keep it a mystery. He gave us a spirit. He gave us a new nature that whereby we can understand, and we can understand this book. And He made sure that He gave us a spiritual teacher. Yes, we understand, and you always got to qualify this. Yes, preachers and preacher teachers have a place in God's church. But even we know that ultimately, if anybody learns anything through the preaching and teaching of the Word, it's the Spirit of God that's going to teach them. You see, He sent the truth, Christ, into the world that we might know the truth. We were in blindness, darkness, and deceived. He sent Christ in us a light to reveal the truth. And Christ, when He ascended, He sent the Spirit of God into this world to teach us and to guide us, and that to reveal the truth that He gave us in His Word. Look over 1 John chapter 5. I love this. You know, Tom was saying about that rolling off your tongue. Some verses I just like to read over and over. I just, like a little kid, I just, you know? I just, I love that verse. It says here in chapter 5, 1 John 5:20. And we know, at least you can, at least you should, we know that the Son of God has come, look, and has given us an understanding that we may know Him that is true. And we are in Him that is true, even in His Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Every child of God ought to rejoice over that. We know that. It's not uncertain. It's not questionable. The Spirit of God has taken the Word of God and revealed the Son of God in us.
Amen.
What a glorious thing.
Amen.
Now, I love this book. I've told our church, and people think I'm crazy sometimes. I said, you know, other than my family, I said, if my house was on fire, with all my library and all my guns, I'm allowed to say that. I'm a man, right? I got guns. With all that, I'm going to tell you what I'd go for first. I'd go for my book.
Amen.
I'd go for this book. My dad taught me to be very practical. Walking home from Addison Baptist Church one night, walking down the road, I wanted to go see a friend. Dad told me no. I was at that age, you know. I was going to go. I told you, you ain't going. And I made a mistake. I took my Bible and I threw it down. And I headed over the hill because I thought Dad was too old to catch me. And he was. I could outrun him when I was about 13. And I started over there. Anybody's been to Addison, Brother Hensley's house up there? It's got that big hill and the schoolyard down there. And I turned around, you know, and he's picking it up and dusting it off and start walking. So I start walking across that field. Bam! He come down off that hill. He was on top of me before I knew what happened. He had me by the shirt. He was wearing my tail out. Yes, my tail with his foot. I don't care what you say, what you do, but boy, you ever show disrespect for this book again and you're going to face my wrath. Amen. He explained to me later, it's just ink. It's just paper. To those who don't know. But in the hands of God, it's the sword of the Spirit. I want to look at one major aspect. There's three of how to study God's Word. I hear a lot of talk about it. And I'll be quite honest about it. There's probably people that can tell you more specifically in the doctrines. Not that I haven't studied them. But I'm not worried about those terminologies as much as I am practicality. What good is it if I can talk up here and everybody goes, well, I think that was good. I ain't getting none of that, you know. But I want you to understand, if doctrine's not practical, what good is it? Amen. Oh, it may be the truth, and it probably is in many cases. But I want to tell you, God's truth is practical truth. He just didn't want you to know. He wants you to live it. The one thing about the three things I'll tell you is observation, interpretation, and application. And what I just want to talk to you for a few more minutes tonight, and probably I'll give you as much as I can tomorrow, but I'm going to show you a little bit, I hope, about observation. God uses the Bible to reveal the person and will His person will to the ordinary Christian. We're all ordinary Christians. You might think you're not. You might think too highly of yourself tonight, but I assure you, you're just an ordinary Christian. You don't know anything like you ought to. He said that, I didn't. No man knoweth anything yet as he ought to. So, I'm just telling you, don't get too high and lift it up with yourself. The more you realize about the truth of this book, the more you'll realize you've got to learn about the truth of this book. That's just the way it is. See, His ways are above our ways. His thoughts above ours. They're endless. They're unmatchable. You'll never come to that high and lifted up position that, you know, stay on your knees. Stay humble. Just as any normal, healthy child can come to understand, so too can a child of God come to understand God's Word. And with any child, as they naturally grow and mature, they can and do come to understand and they learn more. The analogy that I'm speaking of is a very scriptural analogy. It's used multiple times, often used to show and assure that we, with God's help, that we can know, and not just know, but we can grow, Brother Clarence. We can grow in grace. We can grow in knowledge. We can grow in a relationship more fully with Jesus Christ, the one we say we love. Look over 1 Peter. I'll read 1. 1 Peter. We're studying through this book. We just got to chapter 2. Man, pursuit of holiness. That's what I keep telling. I said, you want to live right? You want to die right? Under the midst of persecution? Pursue holiness. That's what Jesus said. And God said, be holy for I'm holy. Don't worry about persecution. You worry about being holy. It says here, 1 Peter chapter 2 says in verse 2, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of what? The Word, that you may grow thereby. Now he qualifies that. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. You know what he's talking about there? If you've been saved. You haven't tasted it if you haven't been saved. You've got no taste for it. You hated it. You spit it out. The reality of what he's showing in that analogy, I believe also in that analogy, he also reveals some of the main principles involved in how to study our Bibles properly. Sometimes, like you said, we read right over things and we don't see them until we start studying something in its context and we begin to see this. This is so practical. I mean, it's just so practical. Like a child growing up. We're speaking to spiritual children growing up. He tells us the means to grow. We feed our children food. God feeds His children food. Hey, you want your children to be healthy? You feed them good food. You feed them regularly, right? Three times a week, three square meals. Every day, 7 days a week, you know, you just go on and on. You throw a few chips in. No. Practical. Much of it spiritually comes naturally to the child of God. I won't take the time tonight, but you look at 2 Corinthians chapter 2. He says, you know, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit. They're foolishness to him. But he says just the opposite for those who are spiritual. He's given us a spiritual understanding. He's given us the mind of Christ. He's revealed it to us. He's given us the knowledge of Him. Although just like life, some things are hard to understand. And some people may know some things. Some kids know more than other kids. Some preachers know more than other preachers. Most preachers know more than I do. Most church members know more than I do. At least that's what they tell me anyway. But the most part, if a child is healthy, they'll learn in a very normal and practical way. They'll learn the easy things. They'll even learn some hard things. Isn't that the general expectation we have for our children? And if they don't, then we say there's a problem. If they are healthy, they should be able to learn. They should be able to grow. They should come to a state of more and more maturity. And we watch for those things. Pastors watch for those things too. That's part of our job. They learn this in a very practical way, and that is the same truth for a child of God. The truth to grow in grace and knowledge is this observation. The first step in learning anything in any realm, whether natural or spiritual, is observation. It's true, whether it's a physical, material thing that we look at with our eyes, or if it's something that we look upon with our hearts and with our minds. How does or what is the first means involved for a new child in their learning? The very first means that a child begins to learn by as they develop even before mental skills, even before logic and reason, even before they understand even what those concepts are all about. You know how they learn? They observe. They observe by looking. Looking, they come to know their surroundings. They begin to understand the difference between what's pleasant to them and what's not pleasant to them. They have no idea, but through observation, they begin to see those things. And they also get to see things that are not. Yeah, well, let me put it like this. You've all seen it. You've all probably heard it. Why do babies cry? Well, they cry sometimes and they want food. You moms know that, right? Oh, I hear it all the time, you moms. They're hungry. Oh, they're hungry. Or they get one. Oh, they're tired. And you know how the kid can't use words. He don't even know what words is yet. Or she can't use words either. But you know what they do? They whine. They cry when they're hungry. They cry louder when they want you to pick them up. How'd they learn that? Somebody teach them that? Somebody say, here, read that over here in the instruction manual. You scream, mom runs. Okay? You do that. No, how did they learn that? Observation. And you know what comes from observation? Logic. If I scream real loud, you know, now I have to tell you honestly, Karen gets a little put off with all my wine, and she says, listen, I'm not going to cook your dinner tonight, and I'm not going to pick you up, so just forget about it. But I whine anyway. Crying. I pick me up. For a child, observation is the first thing in our Bible study. Before you can ever properly hope to interpret the Bible, before you can ever hope to apply the Bible rightly, you're going to have to learn to observe what's in the Bible. You're going to have to find out what's in it before you can ever hope to understand anything about it. And then when you do begin to understand something about it, which we call interpretation, then you will learn how to rightly apply it. I don't know about you, but growing up, and I'll just use this briefly, but I can remember as a child, Dad take me for a ride in a car. Well, I didn't know that's what you called it. He stopped at a gas station. He put gas in it. You know how I know that? I seen him do it. I didn't know what gas was. I didn't know why a car needed any. But I knew every once in a while, Dad would stop at a gas station and put gas in it. You know, he'd tell Mom, I got to stop and get gas, you know. As a child, I was going, hey, Dad's putting gas in the car. Didn't know how to spell it. Didn't know what it was. Didn't know anything about it. But, you know, after a while and through observation, I began to understand. And I began to understand the functions of that car. And you know what? I actually understood some of the mechanics of that car. I understood the brake system, electrical system. Now, I'm not a mechanic by any stretch of the imagination. But I grew in knowledge of that thing. And it was simply through, I didn't read as a child. Hey, Dad, could you pass back the manual out of the glove compartment? I'd like to read up on this vehicle. I didn't know what you called those things. But I learned a lot about it. Just simply by observation. To study. The more that you study this book, he didn't say read the Bible. Did you ever notice that? We always ask, have you read your Bible? Have you studied your Bible today? That's what God says to do.
Amen.
You know, you can read a lot of things and never learn anything because you don't study. The reality of what we see and what we should understand. There is one way that first every child of God needs to be involved with this book. You need to study it. You need to start studying it. As Brother Tom said, you need to do it in the morning. You need to do it. I had Bibles when I was working everywhere, under truck seats, glove compartments, lockers. Because when I got a few extra minutes, buddy, I was heading for the book. They'd say, Donnie, you want to sit here and play cards at lunchtime with us? Nope, I got to go out in the truck. And they'd say, oh, you got to go read? Yep, I got to go read. That's what they understood. Got to go read. The reality of what we see in these first steps, these are the first steps. You know what the first steps of the disciples were? I won't turn there for time. But you look, John 1:35-36. You know what the first, they said, where are you going to lay your head down? He said, come and see. What's he saying? I'm not going to explain to you. I'm not going to waste the time trying to tell you. Just come and see. Come and observe. And you know what they did? They went and saw. And you know what they learned? They knew where he was sleeping. Through observation. He didn't teach them one lesson before that, did he? But they learned what they wanted to find out. They found out the truth. Where do you live? Where are you going to lay down? Well, come on. What did Jesus say to every disciple? The first thing. He didn't say, go back and read this or read that. What did he say to the disciples when he called them? Come and follow me. Come and follow me. You want to know how to get to know Jesus better? You start following him. You start observing him more fully. You spend more time. And the way that you begin to do that is not physically. You can't. Spiritually. You go to his word. Brother Tom, our vice president, Brother Pence, I'm going to call him Brother Pence. I hope I can call him Brother Pence. He got in trouble for saying he heard God's voice. Did you ever hear God's voice? That's kind of a tricky deal, isn't it? Some people say, well, not audibly. No, I don't think I've ever heard it audibly. I don't believe he speaks audibly. But you know, he might as well have, because man, it's loud and it's clear when it comes. And I want you to know, other than a couple of occasions when I needed God's leading and I prayed and it was about the truth of his word, when I'm reading this book, God speaks to me.
Amen.
Praise God. He speaks to me. When I can't hear and nobody else can console me, nobody else can strengthen me, nobody can lift my spirits up, nobody can give me joy or any consolation, when nobody else in this world, I go to my book, God's Word, and I begin to look for God in His Word, and I pray to Him, and I search His Word, and He never lets me down.
Amen.
Amen.
Yogi Berra said this. You know he was a theologian. You can see a lot just by looking. You can know a lot just by looking. And the more you look, the more you'll learn. I'm going to close with this. R.A. Torrey. He told the story of a young guy, a man who was studying ichthyology. Everybody knows what ichthyology is, right? Unless you're an ichthyologist, you wouldn't probably know. Well, let's study a fish. I looked that up too. Fish science. Professor gave the young man, a student, a fish. He told that young man, he said, "You come back when you've mastered that fish." So the young man went away. The young man came back and reported to the professor that he had discovered and learned everything he could about that fish. And the professor said, "Okay, here's your second lesson. You take that fish and you go learn about that fish." The young man went away and he looked at that fish for a while. And he noticed a couple things about that fish he hadn't thought. He said, "Well, maybe I just need to be more specific." And he went back to that. This went on and on and on. And the professor finally come back. And that professor said, "Son, I want you to understand, and I was trying to help you develop your skills of perception. I'm trying to help you understand that there's more there than what first appears." Who of us can say otherwise about this word?
Amen.
There's more there than first appears. You talk about running and telling your wife, "Man, I ran up out of my study," say, "Hi, I got to show you this. I've never seen this before. I've read this thing 1,000 times. And you know what the difference was? 1,001 times, and I seen something I'd never seen before.
Amen.
Glorious! Let me say this. How did I learn to read my Bible? How did I learn to go to church? How did I learn to give a tithe and offering? How did I learn and even understand what it was and what it meant to be faithful? I want to tell you how I learned. I observed it. Ever before I knew what a tithe was, I see my dad putting money in an offering plate. Whether you got a box or however you do it. Before I understood what being faithful was, I'd seen it and observed it in my dad's life.
Amen.
Before I ever knew what it meant to be godly, seen it in my dad, seen it in my grandpa, praise God, seen it in church members, old Uncle Charlie, poorest man in the church, one of the most godly men you'd ever meet, taught Sunday school, adult Sunday school class at Addison about 40 years, godliness. How did I know that you should get on your knees in a church and pray sometimes? When Brother Hensley called, he'd say, "I want this brother to preach and this brother to pray and this brother to pray." And he says, "And any of you other brethren that want to pray, you just pray." And he says, "And then I'll close when we're done." Here comes the chief of police out. And he'd get down on his knees in the middle of the church. And then over here, there'd be the mayor of the town. Come out and get on his knees. And you want to know how I learned how to be reverent unto God? I observed it before I ever read it, ever heard of it, knew what the definition of it was, and how are others in our community and in our families and in our workplace ever going to come to know the truth of God? I'm going to tell you the first way. They're going to have to observe it.
Amen.
I've went from teaching to preaching again, Brother Tom.
Amen.
Lord willing, I want to share a few more points about this. I just want you to know, I think our church members think, well, I can't be a theologian. I can't be a Tom Ross. God didn't call you to be Tom Ross. Boy, ain't I glad. But anyway, God called you to be you.
Amen.
And you know what? God knows exactly what you can know. In fact, God knows exactly what He's going to teach you.
That's right.
And I can tell you exactly how He's going to do it. He's going to take you to the Word, and as you observe it, His Spirit's going to say, see that?
Amen.
Know what that is? Just keep reading. I'll keep showing you more about it. You can know the truth. You can know the truth. People around us can know the truth. But will they see that truth in our lives? I'm going to tell you, they're going to read your life.
Amen.
Ever before they read this book.
Amen.
Lord bless you.